Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Friday morning. A quick programming note coming up on Monday. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler of Silver Hill, my state lawmaker, and Dale Jackson, WVNN, Yellowhammer News, will be with us. And one other guest to be named later. I always kind of figure that out there the night before. But if you want to know who's on the program, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Sometime in that 8 o'clock hour, I try to post the show list. But joining us now, always on the show list, usually on Fridays, most of the time on Fridays, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, Jeff. It has been a busy week, but glad to be finishing it up down here in Orange Beach.
You picked a good place to finish it up. How are you with your buddies from West Alabama these days? Are y'all swapping pleasantries, how's that relationship going?
Well, I made it out and back to Orange Beach, so that's a good sign. I was wondering if that was going to happen or not. I went up and met with Mayor Sheldon Day earlier this week from Thomasville, obviously a big proponent of the West Alabama corridor, very much swapping pleasantries. They were very hospitable, and I spent a couple of three and a half hours or so with the mayor in his city, which is doing great. There's a big old wide 4-lane road that goes from Mobile up to Thomasville, and drove up there. Not a whole lot of traffic, admittedly, on the way up there. And got to see the mayor and listen to him talk about the West Alabama corridor and how important he thought it was, not just for Thomasville, but the entire state. And look, I think there are merits to the project. I think the mayor and I probably disagree maybe on where that project should fall on the priority list for the state, but that's understandable, right? He's a small town mayor there in Thomasville. He's advocating for his town and probably not responsible for a bigger picture like some of us are. But I think the message was received that I wasn't against his project, and that many that talk about this project are not against it. What we're really concerned about is the governor's proposed method of financing of this project, which is really bad and probably is going to end up, if they pursue it, with the project not moving forward in the long term. This is a project that's going to take years and years and years to do well after Governor Ivey's term is over, and it's got to have a more sustainable funding source than just Governor Ivey wants to do this and we're going to use 100% of the money available to be borrowed against future gas tax revenue in one spot in one project. That's just not a sustainable funding method, and I think Mayor Day understands that, and he's agreed to start looking for federal money to help bolster this and use as little state money as possible.
But when you start going down that federal money path, things get bogged up, things get slowed down. And the permitting process is very different, as you well know. The fast-track approach will lose steam, and that may be part of the apprehension by this administration.
And all of those are fair points, and you are exactly right. But the question is, do you want slow or do you want stopped? And I think slow and steady is a better way to go here with a sustainable funding source as opposed to just sheer force of will from a governor that's got, 2 years and change left in an administration when we know by the time you get done acquiring right-of-way, moving utilities, and actually designing this thing, you may just be able to get started on this project, and then the funding questions are going to get real quick, and Aldot's going to have to start accounting for how this project has now doubled in price. This administration is just famous for that, under budgeting on the front end, and then coming back to the legislature and saying, "Oh, we don't know how this got to be so much more money." They've done it with prisons. This project is no different.
Well, what they're doing with this project, and this is my sense of it, and they're getting away with it. I don't know if it's just a case of like us in the media not doing a better job here. I mean, obviously 1819 News were doing it, but they're making it sound like the funding mechanism is just a detail And it doesn't matter how the money comes in. What's important is that the road gets done, and it's an us versus them thing. And I think they've had some success at this, Senator. They're making it sound like you people in Birmingham, Mobile, and Huntsville, and Montgomery don't want the poor, economically beleaguered, unattended to black belt of having a road project in its neck of the woods. That, you know, but thank God for Governor Ivey, because she's the governor for all of us. And they're just passing the whole discussion about federal matching and funding is just noise. Just don't pay attention to that. It's an us versus them thing. And it seems to be working, I think, a little bit.
Well, look, you know, there's a reason that governors for years and years and years have promised West Alabama that this road was going to be done. It's something that those folks in that area of the state want very badly and feel that they need very badly. But what all governors have found for the, you know, recent history, even longer than that recent history, Mary Day was talking about back in the 50s. So the last 70 years or so, governors have been promising this. It's easy to promise. It's very hard to deliver on a project of this magnitude. And while I think Governor Ivey is serious about getting started on this project and is doing anything and everything, regardless of whether it's fiscally sound or not, to get the shovel in the ground, if you will, and get this project started, she is doing so at the expense of the long-term sustainability of this project. And I'm telling her and your listeners and especially the folks in West Alabama that may be listening, if you want this project done and you want it to see it actually completed in its entirety, it is going to have to be done in phases. It is going to have to be done in segments. It is going to have to be done with USDOT permitting, and it is going to have to be done with federal funding, or you're going to be lamenting yet another governor's promise that got started, and you may be able to say, oh, she tried. But, you know, 3 years from now, I think you're going to see a very different approach to this project. And I'm trying to make sure that the state doesn't get started on something that it doesn't intend to finish. We need to have an adult conversation about transportation funding and get the politics out of transportation funding, just like Governor Ainsworth says all the time, and really talk about how to fund this sustainably, as opposed to just yet another promise for yet another governor that likely won't be kept.
And you really think that's the possibility here? Look, you may be getting things your way, but there's no guarantee that the next governor, whoever that may be, and in my opinion it'll be Will Ainsworth, is going to keep building this project. There seems to be a game here that, like, they can force the next governor to have to fix this, or they will demagogue him. They will put him, box him in a corner here, and this thing will be so far down the road that if he don't finish it at this point, then what was all this for? I mean, it's like they're trying to predetermine the outcome for the next governor, and it's not just this, but it's a lot of other things as well. But whatever happens, Senator, the next governor is going to inherit more problems than they know what to do with. I mean, you know, this KIV will have been in office for 10 years and will be giving the next office holder a long list of things to deal with, much longer than what she had to deal with coming out of Bentley.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I want to be, you know, careful to say that it's just not, you know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who is, you know, he's in support of this project too. He just wants to see it funded responsibly, I think. At least that's the comments I've seen from him. But it's the Alabama legislature who is looking at, you know, over 2 years of Governor Ivey left with this and this project and saying, we will deal with this later on. There's no point in getting in a big fight with the governor right now. She's going to proceed with this, and that's all well and good. But Jeff, if you think that 140 members of the House and Senate are going to let 100% of the money available to be borrowed against future gas tax revenues be spent in one project in one state for the next 20 years, that's not going to happen. That won't just be the next governor's problem or the governor after that. That's going to be the legislature getting involved in that and saying this is simply not acceptable, and that's why it's not sustainable.
Well, you're right. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I kind of checked the reporting here, and what I'm hearing, it doesn't look like there are of the of the 140 other members of the legislature, very many of them that are really speaking out in the way that you are. I mean, even contract review, Senator, you know, I'm not seeing it. And I do have some reservations about that, because things, the way things go from time to time, and a lot of people are a little gun shy when it comes to what Kay Ivey wants.
Well, you're correct about that, and my approach in being very direct with folks is not necessarily shared with all of my colleagues, but I can promise you they're talking about it quietly and in, you know, behind closed doors. And their approach is just different. It is one of those, listen, they can see that an administration is about to change in the not-too-distant future, right, in political years. And I think their attitude is, we will wait this out, and we will deal with the next administration. We will allow this governor to go down this road, if you'll forgive the pun. But at the same time, this is not going to continue, and we will deal with it quietly, and it will just go the way that it has gone for the last 70 years. And what is disappointing, I think, is if we don't complete a corridor, you just have wasted money on a segment or a set of plans. You know, the validity of the argument in favor of this corridor is that it is a complete corridor, and that it actually connects two things. If you just do a segment here, a segment there, you have really reduced the efficacy of the project.
Well, that's what it looks like to me, and you know, we get into the very, very nuance, but they're not just taking an existing road and widening it. That there's more to this. There are new roads altogether being built. There's property being acquired, right away being acquired, and that's like, was this the most cost effective way? We didn't even get to have that discussion. Well, we never get to have that discussion when it comes to ALDOT. But was this the most cost effective way to create a quote unquote West Alabama corridor? Would be one I would ask.
Well, look, this administration's never been about cost effective, right? Whether it's prisons and the design build, you know, process there, the doubling of prices, the attempt by the governor to privatize prisons earlier on, at least the construction part of it. I mean, the way this administration is keen on borrowing money, you know, like we talk about, you know, future rebuild monies and maxing out the available money to be borrowed at a time when revenues are higher than they have ever been, and in a bond market where interest rates are higher than they've been in the recent history, that is just not fiscally responsible, and it's very frustrating to see this governor continue to do things like that.
Well, and we'll move on to something else real quick right after I ask this question, but what can, if the legislature were to convene tomorrow and somehow you came to a consensus that you got to figure out how to slow this down or stop it or whatever it may be, what tools do you have beyond what you've done already with contract review?
Well, there are opportunities to relook at funding mechanisms, either through the budgeting process or, you know, through legislative act on how that money can be borrowed, whether or not federal money must be involved. There are many different options we can look at. But I'll tell you this, you know, Jeff, again, you look at the clock and you look at the time frame and the fact that government just by its nature moves very slowly, the likelihood that there's going to be significant work on this project started, other than some clearing, grubbing, and maybe, you know, one segment of the project getting started, you know, prior to the end of this administration is pretty slim. And that's why I think for West Alabama folks, it's so important to focus on a sustainable funding plan that will carry this project through to completion, as opposed to this, yet again, go it alone, my way or the highway, you know, we're going to do it without anybody else approach that this administration is famous for, and then ending up not being successful in the end.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, the returning champion of this program. Senator, moving on to something different, we only got a couple of minutes here. We had Terry Collins on the program a little earlier. I guess you've heard this is discussion about changing the definition of the third grade reading standard or you know, and what it required, that requirement to get to the fourth grade as is prescribed by the Literacy Act. Well, it was delayed, as you well know, but now we're talking about changing that standard to something different. What can you tell us? How do you feel about the way that is going?
It's concerning to me. Look, we are going to retain a whole bunch of students coming up here, as prescribed by the Literacy Act, because they can't read at grade level. The change in the cut scores to hold back fewer, I think, the explanation seems reasonable, is really just, covering up the problem that we have, and that is we got kids that are going to move on, despite the Literacy Act, who are marginally reading at grade level. And at the end of the day, we should expect that every child is reading at or well beyond grade level. And moving the score just a little bit only changes how many thousands we're holding back. We are not doing what we need to do education-wise as it pertains to English language arts in third grade. And that's why the school choice conversation continues to be an important one to have.
Senator, we'll get more into school choice next time we get you on. But thanks for making time for us, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy your weekend.
You do the same. That was State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain.